What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Metalcore Nerds. This is the Hawkeye after show, but also, holy fuck, Spider-Man No Way Home is out, and if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it here at all. We're going to talk about our brief non-spoiler thoughts about it, because this movie is everything. I can't go into it, obviously, but let's just get right into it. Austin, what do you think about this movie, Spider-Man No Way Home?
I appreciate how confident you are. I appreciate how confident that you are that we're not going to spoil it, because we were just talking before the show that I'm like trying to just remove every spoiler from my brain so that we don't, like, even just talking about Hawkeye, like I'm going to accidentally like slip into like some reveals. So one, yeah. go see Spider-Man. Like, I don't know why you're listening to this, because like, you should take the time that you're going to listen to this and go see Spider-Man instead.
I agree.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah, it was, dude, we were talking before. It was a moment. And for us to have like this cultural moment where I'm having all these conversations with people about Spider-Man, it's just cool. It's cool that it's just completely overtaking the internet. One, I know like you and I both were like off Twitter for like 3 days, especially after the world premiere, because you just knew something was going to pop up. And like with the Variety review, and then even just some of the TV spots that were happening. So I was watching the Charger Chiefs game before I went to see the movie. And there was like a 20-second TV spot where there was just this one new scene that was not even like much, but I was like, oh, I didn't want to see that, you know? So, but it's everywhere. And all that to say, like, yeah, dude, that movie was so, so dope. Like, unbelievable.
it's really hard to put into words without going into specifics, but this movie, I post on like Facebook and Instagram and stuff, this movie is everything. It's everything you want for a comic book movie, for a movie in general. This movie is a Peter Parker story. It is Tom Holland's movie through and through, and he delivers one of the best comic book movie performances I've ever seen in my life. And you know me, I am not saying this. I watched this movie twice. I saw it 2 days in a row. After watching it, I was like, man, I can confirm it's my favorite Spider-Man movie, which is high praise. We just did the Spider-Man movie ranking episode. Go check that out. I love all of those movies to an extent, but the top like three are in very high regard to me. I grew up on the 90s cartoon Spider-Man. It was like Spider-Man, Batman, and Power Rangers, and Ninja Turtles. Those were the things when I was like a little kid, that those were my pop culture things. So, you know, being able to see the Raimi movies and the Andrew ones, I don't even remember. I saw them when they came out, but they never really stuck to me like some other people. But when Holland came in, I was like, yo, this dude is fucking Spider-Man. And Spider-Verse, again, I talk about Spider-Verse, that it's like one of the best pleasant surprises in a theater I've ever seen. Went in with zero idea of what the movie is going to be, and that movie is just incredible. But this movie is such an incredible movie. It is so fucking good. It is ungodly sad. I think saying sad is almost underselling the feeling of this movie. I did not think it would go as dark and as emotional and heartbreaking as this movie does.
It's also very funny.
It is hilarious. It is really funny.
Playing with the two extremes really helps like hit the themes home. Yeah.
Every moment, almost every line in this movie matters, which is crazy. Like, I've been having he's talking about having conversations with people. The past 2 days I've been having conversations, and we can talk for hours about this movie just because of all the things that are said that happens. It's insane the shit they pull off, especially with all the hype, all the leaks, all the rumors, and it superseded the hype for me. And it seems like for a lot of people that I've seen, everyone's saying this movie is perfect. This is one of my favorite movies of all time, not even favorite comic book movies. Just like I said, like we both said, if you haven't seen this movie, go see this fucking movie. I know lately we've been putting out episodes on Fridays. We usually record on Fridays and I put them out a few hours later. So kind of funny story, kind of not funny story. Sam broke her toe on Wednesday night. We fell asleep downstairs. And then in the middle of the night, I heard this loud bang, which I'm a very heavy sleeper. So usually nothing wakes me up ever. But this woke me up and I didn't see her downstairs. So I was like, oh, I wonder if she went to bed and like fell out of bed or something. That's how loud it was. It was super fucking loud. And I go upstairs and she's on the floor. And I'm like, holy fuck, she fell out of bed. Like, it was like she somehow like fell out of bed or something. And I was just like, you know, are you okay? Like, what happened? And she accidentally, she was going to get another pillow. And we have like this like basket of pillows next to a dresser. And some of them like spilled on the dresser. And as she was pulling a pillow, there was a salt lamp. And the salt lamp fell on her foot. And she broke her toe. So I drove her to work yesterday. And that's why I saw Spider-Man again, because I was at the mall and we have the Regal Pass, so I can see as many movies as I want. And I was going to go see Nightmare Alley, actually, the new Guillermo mm-hmm. del Toro movie. But Sam was like, I really want to watch that. Just go see Spider-Man again. And I was like, no complaints there. I was like, I will go see that movie as many times
as there- possible. Was there ever a moment where your showing of Spider-Man on Thursday was at risk because of the foot injury?
I don't think so. Because she even made a joke when we were at Urgent Care and stuff. She's like, man, I wish I had Spider-Man socks. Like, she was laughing about it because she's like, I dropped a salt lamp on my foot. Oh. Like, what the fuck?
Obviously, dude, that like, kind of sucks.
Annoying for her, and it sucks.
Toe injuries suck because they're kind of unnecessary. But when you hurt your toes, like obviously for balance, they're quite necessary. But yeah, like when you hurt a toe, you're like, are you kidding me? Like my toe? That's
and you can't do anything. Yeah. There's nothing to do. It's just like, hey, wear this dumb shoe boot thing. And when it stops hurting, it's just going to heal by itself. But you know, you're on your feet all the time. So deal with it. That's pretty much like we went to urgent care. They did an x-ray and they're like, hey, go to orthopedic specialist just in case we missed some other break or something, just to make sure everything will heal fine. And we went there and they're like, yeah, you're good. Basically, you're good. You know, you know, it'll heal fine. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you touched on Nightmare Alley for a second. I've gotten less hyped on that movie since it's come out. Cause I've heard kind of mixed, but it's Del Toro. So, you know, it's phenomenal. But
I saw that the movie he produced, Antlers, a few months ago when that was out. That was pretty cool. It's really fucking weird, but it was cool. It's not like one of my favorite movies of the year or anything, but I'm glad I watched it. Very weird.
I'm stoked to see it. And then
I know nothing about that movie either. Like,
no, it's trailers it's based tell on a you book. Nothing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, Matrix next week. Whew.
Yeah.
Reviews for that are very mixed too. Some say it's too confusing, which I tend to like very confusing movies, so that kind of bodes in my favor. But I saw some people say it's the movie of the year, and I don't know if they've seen Spider-Man or not. I don't really know. It's pretty high praise with like Dune and Spider-Man being out there.
I have a feeling it's going to get really, I think it's going to be really weird based on some of the stuff that's come out, that there's like identical scenes. There's like identical scenes to the original one that are like maybe flipped or whatever. I don't know. I'm really excited. Matrix. Yeah. We talked a little bit, but like 1999, like I was 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there. And seeing that movie was like life changing for me. So I can't wait just even to dip the toes back into that universe and stuff.
Yeah. I saw the one back in, I saw the original in theaters, and I need to rewatch the other two before I see it. Because I want to make sure I don't mind the sequels, honestly.
Revolutions kind of blows.
And I know like everyone hates them. My friend John actually was like, you know what? I really like the sequel trilogy too. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, me and you are like the only people in the world that like them, I guess.
Reloaded, super sick. I think Revolutions kind of goes off the rails. Yeah. I love Matrix movies. So,
I mean, comparatively to the first one, obviously neither of them hold a candle to either of them. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to match up to that movie. That movie is a perfect movie to me.
It's phenomenal.
Crazy. Movie is wild. So I just want to watch it because I know they're going to reference kind of everything. So I just want to have it so it's right there so I don't kind of miss anything. I mean, that's why I did the Spider-Man rewatch, and we did that episode just to make sure, like, hey, you know, if there's anything that's going to come in, I hope I catch it. I think I did, but who knows? I might have missed
it. Two quick thoughts. I finally caught up. I'm trying to like get all the movies I missed in this year, and I finally watched No Time to Die. Did you see the latest James Bond?
Weird fact, I've never seen a James Bond movie in my life.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm not at all a fan of anything other than GoldenEye and the video game. And then the Daniel Craig ones are really, really cool. So I don't like campy action. And so we have not dipped our toes in this at all. I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan and I adore the Mission Impossible films. And so the Daniel Craig, James Bond, I feel like they take the action a little bit more serious and it's really cool. So I really enjoyed No Time to Die. I feel like it was the perfect punctuation on Daniel Craig's run. And yeah, I highly recommend you dig into those. And then also
what everyone has told me, that's what everyone has told me. They're like, watch the really Craig cool. ones. And I'm like, I will eventually. I don't even know why. There's no reason. I just never watched them.
And then I just started watching Station 11, which is a new HBO Max show based on a book about a post-apocalyptic world that ended because of a flu virus that got out of control. Oh. So it's a little bit spooky because the pilot definitely has some. Yeah, it's a little on the nose. But I guess it's like a hopeful show based on, it's based on a book and it's written by Patrick Somerville or Somerfield or something like that. I don't know his exact name, but he was the writer of the Netflix show Maniac and drumroll. He was one of the main writers on The Leftovers. And so I'm very, very, very hyped on that show. And I recommend it. First three episodes are out. Station 11, HBO Max. Pretty cool so far. So,
yeah. Also, anyone who's been listening to any episodes with Austin on it will rejoice. I started The Leftovers. I watched like 1.5 episodes, but it's very cool. It's I was telling my friend about it. And I was like, yo, I started the show. And he's like, oh, what is that? I don't even think I've ever heard of it. And I was like, so imagine if the opening scene of Endgame with Hawkeye was a show. And he is like, fuck. And I'm like, yeah, it's wild. Like,
The Leftovers is based on a book where 2% of the population disappears because of an unknown cause. Yeah. And the main characters that you follow are a family where nobody disappeared, but they've also lost everything. And it's so, so good.
Yeah, it's very cool so far. I'm stoked to watch more. It's just, I'm now The Witcher season 2 came out and I'm like, I gotta watch that. I just finished season 1. So I was like, I gotta watch that now.
There's too much to watch, but
always too much. There's
but why are we here, bro? What are we doing?
We're here for Hawkeye, bro.
I love it so much.
This fucking series, man. Like, obviously everyone's talking about No Way Home, and I saw an article that this is like the lowest viewed MCU show, and it's a damn fucking shame because it's, if they stick the landing, which I really feel like they're going to, this is going to be my favorite MCU show, which is high praise. Like, well, now that Spider-Man No Way Home's out, Loki's like number 7 or something, but it's in my top 10 MCU. Mm-hmm. And I like this better than Loki, which is crazy.
I'm curious why people aren't picking it up. Like, maybe it's because it's a busy time of year.
Maybe,
Like, I don't know. That's confusing to me because it's really good. And I know maybe people don't think that Hawkeye is sexy and like, oh, he's not like an Iron Man character or Loki, like everybody loves him. But oh my gosh, this show is really, really fun. And I was trying to think why I'm enjoying it so much. And I think it's purely because I had such low expectations going into it. Like, I'm not really a Christmas movie guy. So I wasn't stoked about that setting, but yeah, everything that they've done is just absolutely crushing. And I think I've said it a couple times. I think they're just telling a really good economical story. And even as we kind of dip our toes into the story, like the first scene just starts with Yelena's stuff. And we were talking last week about like, oh my gosh, who's Yelena fighting? And it's like, oh, well, it was just there in the first scene. Like, we didn't have to wait long for it. And I'm just really enjoying that they're not dangling these carrots out for us too far. And we'll get into it more, but I love it.
Yeah. I think another thing about this series, it might be the most connected to the movies out of any of them, which is pretty wild because it connects to Avengers. It connects to, you know, obviously Endgame, big with all the Lena stuff, big Black Widow connections that came out this year, like massive Black Widow connections. I mean, even the post credit scene led into events of the show, which is really, really cool. Infinity War and Endgame are, you know, obviously very present in this movie. It's it's wild how connected. I did not expect it to be this connected into everything else as it is, which is a pleasant surprise, I would say.
You know, my thought on that is oftentimes when you So oftentimes when they connect to the other movies, you can see the tissue kind of holding them together, or the tape, or like the sew marks where they're like trying to remove something and put that in there. And I really feel like this show becomes just a piece of the puzzle, and it's very much in its place where I don't feel like they're jamming in Yelena. Spoilers. Are we good?
Like, I mean, yeah, it's a spoiler. Yeah,
Wilson Fisk is in the MCU. Let's go. And like, he fits. He's the crime boss in this whole thing, and like has this massive reputation in New York that people are afraid of him, don't want him to be pissed. And here he is, like, boom, Kingpin's back. And that's so sick. And it fits. It makes sense. And I wasn't like eye rolling like, oh, they had to like jump over this hoop and rewrite this part to make this fit into the timeline. I think they're starting to figure out how these things work. And I think that's something we talked about a couple weeks ago, where maybe with WandaVision and Captain America or Falcon Winter Soldier, like they were still kind of learning how to tell their shows, with the caveat that WandaVision is freaking phenomenal. We just had different expectations on what that movie was. I just think they're learning, and like, you know, Feige and everything he does, like they learn quickly, and that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, and they have learned to not set us up for disappointment in most cases. You know what I mean? Like the whole Kang thing of Loki, delivered. The whole Kingpin of this one, delivered. And it's not like we've talked about it. They've hinted from the jump that Kingpin is the guy at the top. Like they have heavily hinted that it was him, you know, like. And obviously we all have our doubts because we don't want to like be wrong or something, you know, with the Mephisto or the power broker thing or whatever. We don't want to be wrong. You know, I'll accept when I'm wrong. I have many a times on the show, but it's nice to be like, yo, it's going to be Kingpin. And then you're like, bam, it's Kingpin.
Kingpin. Yes. Yes. Well, so it's such a, the opposite of Spider-Man, where that was very much a community thing where everybody was cheering and hooting and hollering in the movie theater and just having a blast. For me, watching Hawkeye is a very lonely experience because I'm in San Diego on the West Coast. I stay up and I watch these at midnight, and it's like 12:45 in the morning, and Kingpin shows up, and I'm just like, yes. And then I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I guess I got to go to bed now. Like, that was the Mandalorian season 2 finale with, with a certain Jedi. If you haven't watched that, with a certain Jedi showing up, I'm like freaking out, trying not to wake up my wife, but like losing my mind and just being like, I'm so alone.
Yeah. I watched that with, Sam and Ava, who lives with us, and I was just like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. Yeah. And Sam's like, can you shut the fuck up? Like, stop. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this is crazy. Like,
please let me be excited.
I have to wait for the morning for like other people, because then you don't want to spoil things. So you're like, anybody watch that episode?
That's why I created the Discord. There's a channel. Yeah. There's a channel people talk about. I don't click on it until I watch it. So there was like, because I even watched Hawkeye late. I didn't watch it until after I saw No Way Home on Thursday. we came home, and that's how we cooled down watching Hawkeye.
Love that.
Not really. I was freaking out the whole episode, pretty much.
So good.
So yeah, this episode starts.
Let's get into this one.
2018. And once you hear 2018, you kind of figure something's going to go down. Because if you don't remember what happened in 2018, it was Infinity War. So we don't really know where Yelena is, but it's Yelena and another widow breaking into a house. They're continuing the mission they set to go out on at the end of Black Widow and find all the other widows and release them from the mind control. So they find one, they wrestle her down, hit her with the antidote, and it seems to not work. And I love that it's Anna is the other one they're trying to free from the spell, but she seems like she already is. And she kind of reveals it, like, hey, did you think I was some rich pervert's plaything or whatever? And Yelena's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, but that's kind of the whole Drokov thing, Like he kind of was that, you know, he kind of was the rich pervert that played puppets with all the widows. Then she realized like, no, I'm pretty much a gun for hire. Like I'm a mercenary. I can help you guys get into that stuff. It's pretty much the only thing we know how to do, but we can make a really good living off it. And then Elena kind of goes like, well, you know, I'm trying to do this thing. I'm trying to free everyone. It's really hard work to try and find them and then, you know, get them to do it. And it's really hard to see them kind of come back to their own consciousness. And then they make the joke about, oh, and then you'll kind of reunite with Natasha and have your own Sex in the City TV show in New York City, which I thought was really cute. But then also sad because, you know, she's not alive anymore. But then she goes to the bathroom and she goes to wash her hands. And we see for the first time the blip in the perspective of someone who got blipped. And I guess more of the perspective of how instantaneous it was. You see her fade away into dust and then come back. And I love how, as she's coming back in a delayed reaction, the environment around her like shifts to what it is now, 5 years later. But it's almost like she came back and then it starts doing it after. It's like, it was crazy to see this perspective. I thought it was so cool. I can see different perspectives of the blip from forever. I don't care. It's like some of the most interesting parts of the MCU to see.
A lot of people died when they got re-blipped. So like the Avengers saved a lot of people, but I think when they snapped and people came back, like you're in an airplane, like you're dead.
They kind of said a thing where it's like if you were in a dangerous situation, you came back safely.
Okay. All right. Like all right.
So, if it was as clean cut as oh they all come back, like yeah, you would be. It's kind of like the serious version of Spider-Man when you see in Far From Home when they come back in the middle of the basketball game and they get like pegged in the head with a basketball. They make it like funny, but then you see it in the case of WandaVision with Monica and her coming back in the hospital and like utter chaos because that's what would fucking happen. People would be losing their fucking mind, you know. So it's like, I'm glad they kind of introduced it in a funny way at first. And then they're like, oh, here's the serious shit. You know what I mean?
Had they confirmed that the blip was instantaneous like that? Because that's new information for us. I think that like Yelena, anybody that was blipped didn't lose time. Like they weren't in just some sort of like extended limbo, plane of existence or something. Yeah.
Spider-Man kind of makes a line of it in Endgame. Be like, oh yeah, we were on that planet fighting whatever, and then I woke up and Doctor Strange is like, oh, we gotta go. He kind of alluded to it, but we've never gotten like a concrete, like visual representation of how instantaneous it was to them. Like literally she dusted and then came back. It was, you know, there was not even like a second of her being gone, you know, which is crazy.
Well, and I love how disorienting that is for Yelena in that situation. One, she's very sharp, so she's always like very aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And then for her to walk out of the room and have Anna have a child and a husband.
And a husband.
Yeah, and that like that just you expand that to everybody that came back. Like I can't imagine how jarring that is.
Yeah, like people living in your heartbreaking house.
Heartbreaking because of the mission she was on to get, obviously, to get Natasha back. And then she's eventually going to find out that Natasha has died.
Yeah, it's pretty much how the scene ends. She's like, can you help me find Natasha? I need to tell her I'm okay. And to us, we're like, well, she's fucking dead. This sucks. Yeah. Like, fuck. It's heartbreaking. This show is so, like, I talked about Spider-Man being sad, but this show is very, very sad, too. I mean, pretty much everything in Phase 4 has had some form of something that's devastating. Like Marvel is just out to break our fucking hearts, basically. They're like,
but it's consequences,
yeah, you know. No, yeah,
it's consequence. It's earned. And it's, I love that. Like,
yeah, it's not just like, hey, we're gonna make you feel sad. It's like, this is all, it's sad because it's earned shit. It's like stuff that makes sense, and that's the only way this stuff can grow. I think I've talked about it a few times, but it's the only way this stuff is gonna hold weight and continue to evolve and carry on, is that we need these kinds of things. Like they're becoming more character pieces than, you know, like action comedies kind of, or like spectacles. Like these are
right,
these movies are becoming like, for everyone saying they're roller coasters and these aren't real movies, like these are real stories and real movies. And it's almost like the action and like the superhero of it all is kind of taking the back seat, but that's what's going to make this stuff better. you know, yeah. the action needs to have like purpose and go in with the story.
Could we assume that Anna is maybe working for Val?
And then it's very possible. I thought that.
And then that's maybe how Yelena gets connected with her. Cause pretty quickly then Yelena will meet Val and then have to go to New York. But then also we'll get into it a little bit later, finding out that Eleanor is responsible for bringing Yelena to New York, which implies that Val, Eleanor, Kingpin, like are all kind of somehow connected. Yeah.
Which is interesting. Which we'll talk about more later. It's very interesting. But yeah, like I said with last week, I said Eleanor could have been calling Val, and it seems like that was the case for sure. Now, we don't really know how long Yelena's been in, so we don't really know if what I said of how instantaneous that call happened during the show. She could have been staking out them for a while. I mean, obviously, she's a fucking spy, and like how you said, she could have been hanging around kind of seeing what they were doing before she went in for the kill. But yeah, so that was the cold open. I love these cold opens in these shows too. They're always so fucking cool.
bizarre pacing on the cold open, that the cold open happened before the previous episode's recap and the credits.
I didn't mind the Marvel scroll thing, but the previous on was a little weird, but I guess it made sense because they really wanted to start with that. I don't know if that was purpose or I don't know. I was like, oh, previously on now?
Yeah, I thought that was very odd. So anyways, just a streaming comment.
I thought that was odd. Yeah, I thought that was weird too. I was like, oh, now they're going to go into previous on?
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted to hit you with the Yelena moment first.
Sure,
I don't know. I don't make TV, so what do I have to say? But then we see Kate coming home, well, going to Eleanor's penthouse. And, you know, she's all banged up from the fight with Maya and Yelena. And Eleanor starts to comfort her. And it kind of leads me to believe that maybe there's something attached more to Kate. Like maybe her dad left all of the money to her or something. And she needs her for the money. Or maybe she really just does care about her daughter. I don't really know. I guess we'll find out more next episode. But like we've kind of alluded to, it's always been that. She always kind of was saying, hey, stay out of this stuff, because she knew it was going on and she didn't want her daughter to get hurt. Whether it's because she actually gives a fuck or there is something else tied to her, maybe monetarily or value wise, that's left to be said. But Kate kind of goes on to say,
I think she cares.
She might. She might really care.
Yeah.
But it's weird because she kind of groomed her to, you know, be this kind of skilled person in like combat and different weaponry. I hope we get to find out like her motive for it, you know, whether it was for like her to take over for her or her to just join at her side to help with the criminal underworld of it all. And she never really wanted her to be a hero. She wanted her to be a fucking villain with her. I mean, that's very possible too.
Well, here, let's talk about that for a second. That if Echo is Kingpin's like adopted daughter, maybe Kingpin is curating like a group of highly trained, you know, assassins or whatever, or whatever to run certain areas. So I'm wondering then, like, Eleanor could have been training Kate, which is horrible. Just all these different skills to eventually get her involved in Bishop Security and then like kind of maybe show her the ropes on what to do. And maybe that's Kingpin kind of, you know, orchestrating that from behind.
Yeah, like how Maya runs the Tracksuit Mafia, Kate would run some other group, you know.
All right, Eleanor sucks. I hate her. Get her out of here. She's terrible.
She is pretty shitty. I will agree. I believe more and more every episode that she definitely killed her husband.
Yes.
1,000%.
Yes.
Then it's kind of Eleanor cleaning up Kate, and Kate reveals like, hey, he told me to stay out of this and everything like that. But then she kind of confided her mom, be like, hey, we've been doing some digging and Jack is the head of Sloan Limited. Like, can you please look into it? And she says, yes. And then she says, hey, go back to your apartment, get all your stuff and then come stay here. Mm-hmm. And she's okay. She goes back to her apartment, finds Yelena. And man, this scene is so good. I've been waiting to see these two interact. And I guess I didn't know I would get like a sit down with them like this.
We'll add it to the list of sit downs, like dinner table sit downs. Like this is not, maybe yeah. it is a thing. And yeah, that's just what we want. I love it.
Yeah. A lot of people said this scene was very Tarantino like, and they even compared it to the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
With the interrogation of Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
His character interrogating the family. And I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, yo, like for real though, because this whole thing is Yelena trying to be like, hey, I'm friendly, but she's a fucking hired assassin.
Right. Right.
She is
right.
interrogating Kate really the whole time. She's just doing it. Wow.
That's
way.
A really good call. Like Christoph, what's his name? Hans. Yes. I can't remember his name in the movie.
Yeah, but, I can't remember his name either.
Christoph Waltz is like very kind and like makes you like him. And that's like what Yelena's doing. Like she's cracking jokes. She's got a big smile, like kind of unassuming. And just and her general nowhere, tone.
Yeah. Then out of nowhere she gets serious. You know what I mean? You're yes, like, oh, yes. shit. And that's what I loved about this. You know, she's, hey, I made mac and cheese. Let's eat mac and cheese together. Like they're having like girls night. And I love all like the references she makes about, you know, oh, it's my first time in New York City. I want to see, you know, the tree, and her talking about a magical or superpowered reindeer, Rudolph, and how different it was for her growing up because, you know, she is Russian. You know, she lived in a Russian spy family in America for, you know, a number of years, but then she was right back to being trained as a fucking assassin. She didn't have a normal childhood and everything like that. So all this shit is like weird to her. Of course, she's going to be very awkward with that kind of shit. You know.
You know who she reminds me of? She's very much a Star-Lord character who tied to certain cultural foundations, like from her youth, but from a different perspective, and like very much like wanted that, but was not able to because of her circumstances. And like I can imagine like her and Star-Lord getting together and just like trading jabs about different pop culture things, but like maybe being like a little bit wrong in their references too.
I can totally see that.
I just want to highlight like again the Marvel casting machine is so efficient and so good. Because they picked up Florence Pugh like right before she started to get massively popular and just put her in the universe. And she's just a character who chews the scenery. And that was such a good scene because both those actors have such good instincts and chemistry back and forth. And that's just so refreshing. I don't know. I could get hyped on it because like they just keep bringing in these actors that like have no business being in superhero movies, even though that's right. like, what everybody's doing these days.
Yeah.
And that again, no spoilers on Spider-Man, but same thing. Like all the actors in those films are so good in the chemistry that they've established, and they're actually having fun doing these. And that dinner or the scene in Kate's flat, they're just having so much fun trading barbs. And then you could see Kate too. She starts to like Yelena, like she starts to like warm up to her. And then you can kind of see Yelena being like, oh, Kate's a good person.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that scene a lot.
Yeah, it was so great. And kind of the whole crux of it is she's trying to find out where Clint is, obviously. But she kind of pries, you know, she says, hey, Natasha was my sister. Clint killed her. And kind of goes into the whole Ronin of it all, saying, like, do you know how many people he killed? He's not a good person. And even asks, like, how long have you known him? And she's like, and I was like, in my head, I was like 4 days, you know? And she's like, about a week, you know? But she's like, I know he's a good person. And deep down, Clint is a good person. He just went down a dark ass path with the circumstances that were dealt with him. But he's facing those consequences, which is needed 100%. It is needed for all the shit he did. And all the shit he's been through, and he's definitely, it's all coming at him hardcore in this series. And
well, Yelena's saying like, oh, he can just hand wave all the people that he killed. Like, oh, it's fine. Like, I think we're starting to learn that he killed a lot of people, which sucks for him.
A lot of people. And to echo your sentiment about all these amazing actors and actresses, that was like when they were showing the previously on in that scene in the rooftop. Again, with Haley Steinfeld and Jeremy Renner. And also, I have to say, Jeremy Renner has been unfucking believable in this series. He has been so fucking good. But even Haley Steinfeld acting across from him has been so fucking good. Like, her being like, I know what's at risk. Like, I know that I can get hurt. I don't care. I want to do this. It's you can feel all of like the urgency and want to be this in her voice. And it's so incredible the amount of like acting ability they're getting in these shows and movies nowadays. It's like you even saying that, it's like, yo, we're getting Christian Bale in a Thor movie playing a definitely 100% CGI character, which if you would have told me that 5 years ago, I'd have been like, no fucking way. Christian Bale is going to play Gore the God Butcher. I would have been like, no fucking way. But when they announced it, I was like, yeah, I believe it. And that's awesome. I was like, that's fucking sick.
And I want to note real quick, we in the first scene with Yelena and, or I'm sorry, with Kate and Eleanor, you see in the background the Hawkeye poster, and my neighbor, just to show that Kate idolizes Hawkeye so much, my neighbor Ryan, who is an improv guy and huge into comics, so he's the guy that we go see movies with all the time, he noted that Yelena, I'm sorry, Kate may be the first superhero that we have that grew up in the MCU movies. And so the first group of heroes all were created and were on like the forefront of the superhero wave, let's call it. But Kate was the one who like watched them. And so she grew up idolizing, like, I can become a superhero. And I think that that's an interesting perspective on where she's at, like, one, realizing that she could easily get killed and the stakes are much higher once you get into it. But I think it's a fun dynamic that like Hawkeye was kind of like created from S.H.I.E.L.D., but then Kate was born into this world where superheroes were a thing. And she might be the youngest superhero we have. I'm not like, I don't besides, have a strong take on this theory. But even him, he was like bitten and then created because of an accident. Oh, I almost spoiled Spider-Man, so good job.
But this that's an awesome note. I love that note, and it's a perfect setup for Ms. Marvel that's coming next year, because that's like her whole thing. She's an Avengers super fan who gets powers, you know, and she is growing up in this world. Like, even in the teaser, you see her wearing like an Avengers Con lanyard. Like, it's like a con for Avengers shit. And we've already seen in this series, like, Rogers the Musical is a thing. And like, so like, of course there'd be conventions about the Avengers and superheroes and shit like that.
So maybe the note on that is some of the heroes were maybe forced into situations because of the consequences of their choices, where Iron Man became like had to address these choices and almost had no choice to jump into action. But Kate and Miss Marvel then like are choosing because they want to. And that's a different motivation.
Very different. Totally different. It's you know, again, it's like them choosing to, like, I want to do this, not like, oh, I need to do this because of the circumstance.
And Kate can't help herself. Like,
no.
Stop it. And we get the swingers type phone call where she's leaving Jeremy Renner, like, all the messages.
It is so Kate Bishop. It hurts. Like, I can understand, I guess, some people getting annoyed by it the way she is. But, like, she is Kate Bishop. And that's how Kate Bishop is. And I love every fucking suck of it. And the confrontation between Kate and Yelena, kind of, she's like, don't get in my way again, pretty much, and bounces the same way she kind of did the sick fall. And then we go back to Clint, and Clint ends up going to Grills house, and I must say, I love Grills, the guy who plays Grills. It's a very different character than in the comics, but he still is very lovable. I am still very worried for him.
When he showed up in this episode, I felt sorry for you. Like, I was like, oh no, Sean is not gonna be happy.
That's me. I'm like, I love this dude, but I'm like, no, stop getting involved, man. Please.
Yes.
But I don't know. It seems like the finale kind of takes place in Rockefeller Center and the whole party thing. So hopefully he doesn't get involved. I fucking hope not. But who knows? Like, I really still don't know how this year is going to end. And again, that's like the most exciting parts about this is, I don't know how it's going to end. And I love that. But
we'll get to Kingpin later.
We'll get to Kingpin. Don't worry about it. Clint goes to Grills. He lets him up, of course. Grills is like a super fan, so But it's a really nice moment of he's like, oh, hey, can you watch the dog for a little bit? I got a hotel. And he's like, no hotel. He's like, you can stay on my couch. He's like, hell, you can sleep in my bed. It's like a very endearing moment. And it's, again, it's the duality of how Clint sees himself and how most of the world sees him. Is that like, yo, this dude is a fucking hero. He saved the world. He saved the universe. You know, he saved a lot of people's lives. And he put his life on the line for it. He's one of the only OG Avengers left. He's one of two left on Earth, you know, so everyone like appreciates it. But he's like, hey, I did the Ronin thing. Like, you know, even before he sees himself as a weapon. And even before Ronin, when he was S.H.I.E.L.D., like, he was doing the same shit. You know, he was like killing people for S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, he was set to kill Natasha originally. You know, it's just it sucks to see himself like that, because I get he's done some fucked up shit. But at the same time, you're like, damn, dude, like. Fuck, man. I just wish you kind of saw the good in yourself. You know, it's heartbreaking. And then we go back to Eleanor's penthouse, and we see that Jack gets arrested for money laundering or fraud or taxes, something along those lines. And even Eleanor kind of goes, yeah, I looked into it. You were totally right. He was doing some wrong shit. But Jack acts very casual about it. He's like, don't worry, it's a misunderstanding. We'll get out of this. It makes me confused as to, is he in on it with Eleanor, or is Eleanor just fucking him over? I could go either way with it, to be honest.
I'm not particularly stoked on what they've done with Jack. I don't want him to be the patsy.
The dumb guy.
Yeah. I think he's involved.
I hope he is.
But also maybe just confident that like they'll get away with it. I'm not really sure what they're doing with him. I guess it seems like, I know he's the red herring for us, but it seems like we've invested a lot of time in that, not a lot of time, but we've invested time in that relationship for them just to like kind of hand wave him to the side so that Eleanor can take his place. So I do hope for his sake that there's something more there. And I think there will be.
Way too aloof, you know what I mean? Yes. He may even be like, I've never worked a day in my life and shit like that. It was kind of too wink and naughty for him to just be totally oblivious to what's going on. Like we said before, like he was at the black market auction. Like he definitely knows shit that's going on. There's no way he's, you know, there's no way. And even his uncle Armand III was definitely involved in the criminal underworld. There's no doubt about it. So I don't think he can be fully clueless. Yeah.
With that said, I mean, with police in the building and Kate there, like Kate's kind of blowing this up for him. So maybe that is kind of an act. And I have a feeling that they're real slippery. they'll get through the legal system cracks real easily.
I mean, he's got money. That's the one way to get through it easily.
Yep.
Money. Done. Then we see Clint visit an Avengers memorial that's from the Battle of New York, which this is very cool to see. And he takes out his hearing aid so that there's like no outside noise, and he talks to Natasha, and he basically says she was the bravest, loyal and stubborn. She always had to win, and that's why she had to, you know, win quote unquote win on Vormir. And he said all over a stupid orange rock, which I thought was, I mean, fair, but
yeah, I love that.
And he said,
especially after they won, you know, like to belittle the power of the Infinity Stones, like after they won is like kind of funny.
He lost his best friend, you know, it sucks. Yeah. And he even goes on to say like, I'm doing my best. You gave me this chance, you know, this second chance in life, and he appreciated it, but it's hard. It's hard for him to do. And then he basically says, I'm sorry for what I'm about to do. And then he talks to us.
Is what? Putting on the Ronin suit?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Like he put the Ronin suit away because she saved him from that fate, that path. And he's apologizing to her for putting it back on.
Back on. Yeah. To kind of, because he didn't want it. He didn't want to go back to that, to have to do this.
Right.
And then we see that what you mentioned before of Kate relentlessly calling Clint's phone, leaving a million messages until his mailbox is full. But it was amazing. I love that. And then we see a couple of the Tracksuit Mafias pulling up in a Trust a Bro truck. and an arrow goes through the windshield, and it's a messenger arrow, which is hilarious. And then
No, you just breezed through that too quickly. Like the
Rolls, the interaction
joke, yeah. so good. Tony they're like, we are Royal Tenenbaums. And he's like, we don't look like Royal Tenenbaums, but then you realize that they totally do.
Yeah,
like Ben Stiller and his kids.
There was a Tony Soprano reference that was really good. Yeah, I'm sorry I glanced over that. It was a very funny interaction. I know some people have had some qualms with the Tracksuit Mafia being too jokey, but no. I think they're fucking great, man. I love them. I think they're so funny. I love them.
Yeah, I love them too. Even the arrow coming through the window and they're like freaking out.
Yeah, and the note comes out and they read it and it was like, Maya, meet me where you first met the Ronin. And the dude's like, we're not Maya, and I'm like, my god. oh my god. And also the note does mention to say to come alone. Clint then again talks to Laura again, and it's kind of like a similar sentiment of like, hey, I think the big guys at the top of this, this is way bigger than I thought. And even she expresses concern about the big guy, which later, like we've talked before, is revealed to be Kingpin. It's a very big point that they're both scared of this guy. That's a very big deal. And basically she's just like, hey, I trust you, do what you gotta do, basically. And it kind of did make seem that this next face-off was going to be a little worse than it was in ways, because even you brought up like, so what was that? But I think it was just putting on the costume. I think that was like a big deal for him, and he didn't want to do that ever again.
Right.
So maybe that's it, but it did kind of seem like he was going there to kill Maya, you know what I mean? Or kill any of them. And we see
I just realized too, he didn't have the costume. And so like the costume coming back into his hands was not his choice.
Part of the plan. Yeah, he thought it was gone forever.
Mm-hmm. And so that the assumption is maybe they had it just set aside at Avengers. I love that there's maybe like an evidence closet at Avengers facility headquarters or whatever, where they're like, this is an old costume of mine. I'm just going to put it in this closet.
Well, the thing is, I don't think they ever rebuilt it. Because it was blown out the fuck up. So I think just like a crew went in and retrieved stuff, but it was probably like all black market shit. Because there's like a very small note of in that final battle near the end of it, there is a helicopter like landing in like the wreckage. So it's probably people scavenging shit. I mean, there was some people brought up this note, and I actually totally forgot about it because it's been since the series came out that I watched it. But Kingpin in the series kind of like was Vulture, and he used the Battle of New York to resell weaponry and shit to move up the chain. So this could easily be continuing on in that kind of stuff. They can't reference shit in the Netflix series, but they can still carry on without rehashing shit they don't need to rehash.
I'm mentally pausing any Kingpin theories until we kind of understand what they're allowing to come into the show.
That's a very fair point. It does seem like he's just been there, and it's not some multiverse thing. It's not some like wacky whatever thing. It's very much seems like he's been here.
Well,
and you know, he's been here this whole time. He's just been working under the shadows or whatever.
I want to talk about Spider-Man so badly.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand. 100%. Maya did not come alone. She has Kazi, and they meet at Fat Man's Auto Repair again. They're very clear on it being Fat Man's Auto Repair. And Kazi's up in a sign with a fucking sniper rifle, ready to fucking kill Clint, which is fucked up. And then a bunch of the tracksuits are kind of hidden among the cars. Ronan, Clint takes out Kazi first, and then fucking Batman style takes out all of the other tracksuit mafias.
Where are the other drugs hidden?
Swear to me. I did like that scene a lot. It was really cool to see him kind of just like take out everyone and people be kind of like terrified of him. Then
I enjoyed Clint, that he was able to like, Clint is good, he's a good fighter when he wants to be, and so like him and Echo going toe to toe, it's like, oh well, Clint is good.
yeah like dude should not be fucked with. Like 100% they face off. It's an awesome fucking fight. Like they are fucking like going the fuck at it. And it is really cool choreography. It was really awesome to see.
You want to know why the choreography was so good? It's because he was in a mask. So it was a stunt double. 2 weeks ago, I was complaining about the Yelena being in a mask, but then you also realize like the fights could be that much better. Like,
true.
Very, you don't have to see Jeremy Renner's face.
Yeah. 100%. That's very valid. And then he reveals himself to Maya being like, hey, it wasn't all me that was involved in this. He pretty much reveals that like Kingpin sent him to kill his dad, which lines up with the comics. I mean, I think Kingpin directly kills him like by his own hand. Like he like shoots him in the face or something, but it's the same kind of principle. And it is a very important thing for Maya. Maya does not take this answer lightly and tries to fight him more. But Kate ends up saving the day. She tracked his phone again, which I thought was hilarious when Clint asked about it. He's like, you tracked my phone again, didn't you? And she's like, yeah. But then they go to escape, which the only thing that was weird about them escaping is that Clint was not wearing the Ronin suit and he didn't have a bag with him. So I was like, where was it?
Don't look too hard. I don't know.
I was thinking about that and I was like, where did his suit go? Yeah, I was like, he changed real fast and it doesn't look like it's anywhere, but it's me probably just nitpicking for no reason. And then he asks Kate, do you have an exit strategy for this? And a fucking Uber pulls up to take them, which is so funny how she does this shit. It's always like something so like normal, I guess.
Well, tracking, help like, get away. She's also like she's like a typical millennial in this situation. Where she's savvy on her phone, like able to like work a computer, you know, familiar with Uber, all this kind of stuff. And I think that that's a fun dynamic that most of the heroes we've gotten, minus maybe Shang-Chi and Spider-Man and stuff, like most of them are like a little bit older.
Yeah.
Not like normal people.
Very true. That's a really good point too. Then we see Maya meet up with Kazi. Basically, he apologizes like, hey, I got blindsided, and ask her what happened. And she's like, he got away. And he's like, that's it. So whatever. And then she asks him about why he wasn't there the night her father got killed. He was her dad's number two. Like, he should have been there. And she's seeing through the cracks of like, hey, her dad getting killed was a setup by Kingpin. Highly likely. Seems that way.
Again, that's part of the thing that I'm enjoying, how economical the story is, whereas some shows, especially if it was a Netflix show, there would have been like, you know, 11 episodes in this mystery of her unraveling. This would have happened pretty quickly, but it's showing you that like Maya is very smart and she's like picking up the cues. And even, you know, one line from Ronin, I don't know if it would sway it, but I think she then understands like, okay, something's going on with this that's bigger than me.
And that's why she asked.
I appreciate that because they're smart people doing cool stuff. So let's go.
it was almost like her asking that and him giving a really shitty answer kind of just confirmed the notion. Like you said, she probably didn't trust what Clinton Ronin said at all. She's like, why the fuck would I trust this guy? But at the same time, it's like, what does he have to lie about? And that
imagine that she's able she's able to read faces too. And so like,
oh yeah,
you know, you're like lying to her. Like she's going to be able to pick up on different cues. I don't know, but like,
that's definitely part of possible, it. You know, her reading lips and, you know, learning from, she has no hearing aid or anything. She only knows sign and reading lips. So, I mean, that's definitely insanely possible. I do love how Clint said, we're the same. We're both a weapon, like being used pretty much. I was like, damn. That was a really, really cool moment. In the Uber ride home, Kate tells Clint that Yelena paid her a visit. And he even brought up, she said she was Natasha's sister. And he goes, Yelena. So that answers our question from last week. Yep. Didn't know who she was by face, but by name knew who she was. So Natasha opened up to him about her other family, which is cool to see. It makes sense. They were best friends. Like it makes complete sense that she would open up to him about that. And I definitely think that will help lead to them rectifying the situation, being like, I did not kill, you know, and I think it's going to be a very emotional moment of being like, I wish I was the one who died, you know, like I was the one who wanted to die and she beat me into taking the fall.
Well, and, And Yelena will understand that. Like, she's going to understand that my sister sacrificed herself for the world. And then obviously that's a very complicated lie. If Clint was trying to fabricate this, like, okay, we time traveled back into the past and we were on another planet. And then, you know, like the Red Skull dude, well, he's like a ghost type of guy who like makes you choose one person to survive, one person to live. And you have to love him. Like
it's a very, very complicated and a frankly unbelievable story to try and lay out for someone. You know, we had to get this rock and, you know, soul for a soul, you know.
Yeah.
Normal just, things. You
know, it's like a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Normal things. It's nothing weird. But they get back to girls' apartment and we do see Yelena trailing Eleanor. And then we go back to the apartment and Kate gets a text from a unknown number saying, Kate Bishop, I know who hired me, and reveals that it was Eleanor that hired her and then sent a picture to her. And then she shows the phone to Clint and says, Eleanor, or my mom hired Yelena to kill you. Who is this in this picture? And Clint goes, that's the guy I've been worrying about this whole time. Kingpin. Credits, baby.
So sick. I even love that they like called him by the Kingpin name. Like they're not trying to do like a Wilson Fisk or anything. Like
no, he's Kingpin, motherfucker.
And then the credits showing Kate and Hawkeye with the outline of Kingpin is Kingpin? Sick. Yes.
Vincent. Well, at first when I saw it, the picture's kind of hard to tell what's going on. I was like, I would assume it's Vincent D'Onofrio. But I can't really tell fully, but his name is in the credits. And then he tweeted a screenshot of that saying when I was a boy, which is like the famous line from the Daredevil series. And fuck, man, I am so excited that he's in the MCU. It is so sick.
One note I just want to highlight, like I love, like D'Onofrio has been very aggressive on Twitter. Like even before the show, he was like tweeting
I'm
stuff
so stoked
about
for
it.
The series. And we're like,
I wonder why. Man. Yeah. All right, man. And I really enjoy, you guys talked about it, I think on that Spider-Man podcast where you have either like the Gwyneth Paltrows who like doesn't know she's in these films. And then there's other actors who are just so happy to be there. And like, I feel like D'Onofrio now is just like, I'm part of this, baby.
It's like a lot of the Netflix people, I think they loved playing those characters. And why would they not be excited to continue them on in an even bigger
format? I'm sure Charlie Cox would love to continue playing Daredevil at some point. But
I'm sure he would love it.
I'm stoked. I told you, and I again, it's the line from Spider-Man about disappointment or whatever. Like I try to set my expectations low. And I thought Kingpin was going to be an end credits sequence cameo and we're going to have to wait for him to come back. And I'm just so, so pleased that hopefully next week, like I bet you we're going to get a cold open. That is Kingpin. His story. Yeah. Like,
which is sick. My friend Mash texted me the same thing. He's like, I bet next week is a cold open with Kingpin. And I was like,
yes.
Please.
Well, that's what that's kind of what, again, I'm just taking what the show has been telling us. And it's pretty clear. If not, we'll get like a big, because they do have some work to do to figure out like, okay, what from the Netflix shows we're keeping, what doesn't matter legally, what they're allowed to mention, what they're not allowed to mention. Obviously, you know, he's been in jail, has had some issues, and now has worked himself up to becoming the Kingpin, having some history with Ronin in the crime underworld and stuff. But man, I'm stoked. Yeah. Like just you talking about at the beginning of the episode, being raised on the animated series of Spider-Man, like Kingpin was like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and him being in this, I cannot wait to see him and Tom Holland interact because it's going to happen eventually. It's going to happen eventually. And I can't wait for it.
You know, I just realized like the size thing. Like, I don't know if D'Onofrio is necessarily a big man, but Tom Holland is not a big person. And
yeah,
I love maybe like the size discrepancy there that like when they interact and potentially fight, like there will be a situation where like Tom Holland's size is utilized in that. And I think that that's really cool.
I agree. He is kind of a big dude, but there's movie magic where they can make him look even bigger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even from like, I mean, like Tom Cruise is like 5'4" or something, but he like stands on boxes, so he seems taller and shit.
The whole Jack, oh man, are you, yeah. Jack Reacher? Are you familiar yeah. with Jack film? And he's supposed to be in the books like this huge guy, which I guess Amazon's doing a Jack Reacher show where the actor is actually huge, but Tom Cruise is like the anti-Jack. Tom Cruise is like the anti-Jack Reacher.
Yeah, it's a short man, very very short man. Ugh. But
like you alluded to earlier in the episode, is that I'm very interested to see how Val and Eleanor and Kingpin are connected. Now, I don't think Val is necessarily intertwined with the criminal underworld, but it seems like she definitely knows everything that's going on. She even references at the end of Falcon Winter Soldier that things are about to get weird. Like, she knows something crazy shit's going to happen, and she knew about the shield and the gray area with the shield, and she knew Clint was Ronin. Like, she knows some shit that no one else fucking knows. These connections make sense, but I don't think she's directly like part of the criminal underworld. I just think she's probably connected them in some form. And like you said earlier too, like Anna could be a hired gun for Val too. And, you know, maybe she has this string of mercenaries she can could just send out. And maybe they do a thing like kind of how they did in the Netflix series where Kingpin tries to take a political office. And like, really, I think the point of what Val is trying to do is create a government controlled Avengers team, like a Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers or whatever. Like, I think that's her goal. There's no Avengers around.
I'm trying not to go too far down the rabbit trail and just in my head on like different theories and stuff. Cause I'm like, you know, obviously Val's morals are very gray. And she, yeah, I think one, you don't hire Julie. Louise Dreyfus to play a character that's going to be sidelined. So I think we'll get a lot more of her soon, which is exciting because she's just, again, chewing up so much scenery when she's in those. But I have to wonder, like, did Kingpin hire Ronan? And which is kind of confirmed by his interactions with, like, the tracksuit mafia stuff. But then there's some implications that, you know, Wilson Fisk knows that, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Anyways, again, I'm trying not to go too far down the rabbit trail that Kingpin maybe knows that Clint is Ronan
because
he hired him. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that that's the case, but they probably worked together in the past. So,
and made some sort of agreement together.
Yeah. Know. Oh, yeah, dude. Let's go.
I'm very excited to see how the series ends and how it plays out. Oh, the girls did mention that they have their new costumes, which we've kind of already seen in promotional material and trailers. So no big surprise there. They're purple fucking costumes.
the assumption is next week. Granted, I don't want to go too far down this because we'll find out in a couple days. But the assumption is that it's Eleanor's party. Kingpin's going to be there. That takes place in Rockefeller Square. And then something happens where they all like start fighting and stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like it might end in a kind of Kate and Clint with Yelena and Maya against Kingpin.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and they definitely make some trick arrows. I watched that promo that they released, and they're like, they finally get to start making those.
Which is sick. I'm excited to see what those ones are. I feel like they're gonna get some crazy ones. I bet there's a boomerang one in there.
Better be.
Bet we get a boomerang arrow.
So yeah, I'm really excited for the finale. I think, you know, I hate to go so far into the field that we just like are pouring praise left and right on this show because I like to temper my expectations and have a realistic view on something. But really, I've enjoyed the show. I don't have much bad to say about it, and I'm really excited for the finale. I think that they've done a good job. Now they had so many different plates spinning at the same time that I think they're all kind of pointed in the right direction. And kind of, I think it might all lead to this like Rockefeller Center confrontation of some sort. And then the ramifications moving forward, I think it's kind of clear, just like setting up. Again, I hate when they use one thing to set up another thing because then we're just kind of always looking to the future. But I think Kingpin fits a very specific role in the story of this show, but then setting him up for the future as well is very cool. Very dope.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it ends because obviously, you know, Young Avengers are coming. Echo's getting her own series, whether we really know what that's about, but I think it's kind of going to be a spiritual sequel to this series, obviously. And whatever the after credit scene is, I don't know.
Have we, is there any indication that there will be a second season of this show?
No. The only one that's really gotten one is Loki. Well, and What If, I guess, but
WandaVision? No.
No. Limited series. And even Falcon and the Winter Soldier, even if they it's do something be a else, movie. it'd be yeah, there's Cap 4 happening. But it would be called Captain America and the Winter Soldier if they do a second season. They haven't really I don't think they've alluded to anything, because they could easily do a series after the movie and everything like that, but it seems like the movie's the next big step for that story. So yeah, I don't know if we're gonna get a second season or what. I mean, I would be all fucking for it, but
I think you're right. I think season two would be Echo or you know, something to do with King, because I think they use this show to kind of set up that ground level. We call it the ground level, like New York crime scene stuff, and I think that they kind of use that to set that up. And yeah, I guess what you're trying, what they're pointing towards, is then like each show will kind of touch in a different area of these different things, like the Iron Wars and there's too many shows.
There's a lot of shows, and even the Agatha show, I think that's like a sequel to WandaVision without it being called WandaVision.
There you go. Okay, there's like a the story continues, but it won't necessarily be the same thing.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm interested to see if they do get a season two, even after this, even after Echo and all that stuff, because it even stands to see, like, will we see Kate in Echo? Maybe. You know, we have no idea.
I would guess that they would.
She lives in New York, you know?
Okay, so we don't know. Yeah, so we haven't had any confirmation on what Yelena's next story is, what Kate's next story is.
Nope. I mean,
they won't sideline those people too much.
Yelena and Kate could be roomies in New York.
Oh, I love that idea.
That'd be awesome.
She's going to get her Sex in the City fantasy there, but it's not going to be Natasha. It'll be Kate.
Yes. Yep.
And they'll take over Eleanor's penthouse.
Ooh, she gets fucking arrested.
Kingpin's going to turn on her in a second. Eleanor's getting arrested.
Very possible. Yeah. I mean, I can see it, you know?
What's next for us? This is a big week for metalcore nerds. Spider-Man, Hawkeye, like a lot going on. So we have the finale next week. And then the week after that, we start Book of Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, yep.
And then the next big one is Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, or Ms. Marvel might come first. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know which comes first. They just said, I think they said spring 2020. I don't even remember what they said. They haven't released an exact date, but they kind of do these things. They like, you know, one thing finishes and then eventually they'll start promoting the other one when they have a clearer picture of when it's coming out. They've done it with all of these series. They're like, hey, it's coming out in a month or something, you know what I mean? They don't really need a ton of time to be like, hey, this is coming out this date, you know? People are gonna fucking watch it, doesn't matter.
Multiverse of Madness is the next movie.
Yes. Yep. Now that Spider-Man is out, Multiverse of Madness is in May. And then Thor is in July, I think.
Oh, I have not even allowed myself to get excited about Thor. Wow. Okay.
I know. Yeah. It's we are very spoiled as nerds. Ungodly spoiled. And this is I haven't talked about it much publicly, but I am attending the virtual premiere of Cobra Kai season 4. Which is exciting, on the 28th. So I'll probably do like a short non-spoiler thing for that before it comes out.
What does that look like? You got invited to you click on a link and you get to like watch it.
Yeah. That's it's sick. Like a digital screener kind of thing. But I think there's going to be like a Q&A with the cast and stuff. I don't remember the exact details, but I got my email yesterday.
Look at you, man, coming up in the world. Review this podcast 5 stars, please.
Please do that. Well, once I hit 2 years, I can apply to be like a certified Rotten Tomatoes thing, but I need 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Friends. So Sean will give you $1 for every review that you get. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'd give you $1. That's fair.
I hate that that stuff matters. That really, like, that really matters to people.
It does. It sucks. It's okay. Hulu denied me. I tried to apply for their press thing, and they're like, no. And I'm like, okay.
Guys,
I'll try again.
This is why we got to support Metalcore Nerds so that Sean can get his Hulu credentials.
I mean, that's kind of the goal. If I get to do stuff like that, I get to kind of, well, because that's the craziest thing about the Spider-Man stuff is I posted, you know, my short review in the group and then on my own Facebook and stuff like that. And a couple people comment and they're like, yo, are you doing a spoiler review of this? Like, I want to hear your full thoughts. Yeah. And I'm like, never in my life do I think people would be coming to me and being like, yo, what do you think of this? You know,
you're like it's Professor cool. Xavier of the, oh wait, never mind. You're Metalcore Mephisto.
I mean, I'll take Professor Xavier.
Yeah, shave your head.
That's
you'll be the Professor Xavier of Metalcore Nerds. We just all come to you for wisdom and you know everything. So
I like
that. And then one day you'll get your Comic-Con, you'll get your Comic-Con credentials, and then you'll come to San Diego and we're just gonna just like live our dream at Comic-Con next year.
Yes. I would love that. That'd be so sick. I've never even been to like a con, so
they're the worst. I don't know why I'm excited for them, because it's thousands and thousands of people in long lines with COVID restrictions and stuff. It's going to be a disaster. But yeah, if anybody listening ever comes into San Diego for Comic-Con, holler at me, because that's like the coolest thing ever. Comic-Con is dope.
Fuck yeah. I love that. I love that. But yeah, we'll wrap this one up. We'll be back next week to talk about this fucking finale. We'll see. We might have to record on Thursday or something, because Friday is Christmas Eve. We'll figure it out.
My family doesn't care. They know how important this stuff is to me.
That's fair.
I'm down. Look, you're gonna. We'll record it at 1 a.m. Pacific time. You're gonna stay up all night. We'll record this immediate reaction.
I don't want to do that. I do not want to stay up to 3 to watch it and then.
I'm stoked. This is exciting. I think they've done a really good job paving the way for this. And
I agree.
I think, I just realized like most of these shows end in like these big CGI battles where there's something blowing up in the sky. And I feel like this has been like they haven't relied on CGI a ton. Like there's no characters that fly or anything that it's, I think it'll be a very grounded final confrontation. Which is exciting. Yeah.
Besides like Loki ended with a conversation, basically.
That's true.
But there was a ton of CGI with that episode too.
Yeah.
Is the whole multiverse thing, you know?
So.
But it was interesting to see them end a whole series on like a conversation.
Oh,
which I don't care. I'm here for that. I love that shit. But awesome, man. You know, we'll do this again next week for the final time. Not the final time ever, but the final time for now.
Maybe it's forever. Goodbye, friends.
I don't think it'll be forever, but until next week. Oh, I'm doing a big panel of Spider-Man. Another podcast is hosting it, but it's a ton of podcasts, so they're kind of like, we're all kind of like, if you want to post it on your own feed, go ahead. So I'm probably going to do that, and I'll probably post it sometime next week, give people a little more time to see the movie. But like I said, some people asked about it, so...
Can we maybe just say that we'll spoil Spider-Man next week? So, like, watch that movie, please.
Yeah. I'll give a fair warning if we talk a little bit of spoilers about Spider-Man No Way Home. I feel like everyone in the world is going to see it this weekend. So,
let's go.
we'll say, hey, if you don't want to hear about it, fast forward a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Go watch Spider-Man. Let's go, bro.
Yes. Go watch Spider-Man. And until next week. See you later, nerds.